We've got two readings today. The first one is from Exodus 20, verse 7, page 78 of the Church Bible. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The second reading is from John 17, page 1085 of the Church Bible. That's John 17, verses 20 to 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe and that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us here safe this morning. I pray that we will not leave today unchanged. Pray that you'll be at work in us. Help us to know what it looks like to honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, do you love God? Do you honor and care for his dignity? How do you feel when God is mocked? We've just had a third commandment read a moment ago, and you might be thinking something like, oh, well, I mean, I don't misuse the Lord's name. I don't say Jesus Christ when I'm frustrated. I don't say, oh my God, when I'm annoyed. So I guess, I mean, tick, I've completed the third commandment. But I think God probably knows about that little loophole, and so it's not just a tick box exercise, these commandments. It's a way of living life. And so the commandment must be more about than just being happy that I didn't say, oh my God, today. I've been really blessed, but also really struck studying what it means to obey the third commandment as a Christian. But maybe you're not a Christian, but fear not. Don't go to sleep. This will be really worth your while listening to as well. I want to challenge and encourage everyone here this morning that the third commandment is broader in its scope than we might first think. Now, first of all, we should consider carefully what the commandment actually says. I wonder, did you see the promise? Let's read it again. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold guiltless anyone who misuses his name. The Lord will not hold guiltless anyone who misuses his name. And so if you have ever misused God's name at any point, in any way, shape, or form, then you are guilty. Are you confident in your ability to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and to declare to him that, Lord, I have never misused your name? Or will it be more like actually a child declaring to you that they have not eaten the last bit of cake with it all kind of smushed into their face? I think that no one is truly able to say that they've never misused God's name. And so that means that we have sinned. And we're liable to the judgment of God. But God in Jesus Christ came to earth to redeem people from judgment. Those who have put their faith in Jesus have all of their guilt and sin taken away. At Easter, when Jesus died on the cross, it was a declaration that all who believe in him would have their sins removed, past sins, present sins, future sins, all dealt with entirely and fully there on the cross. You are no longer under judgment if you are in Christ. And it's important that we start off here because we must take the full seriousness of the law. We must consider it. But we must also know that in Christ you are no longer guilty. Well, that being the case, are we aware that everything we do or say casts a reflection onto God, whether we like it or not? You, Christian, bear God's name. You are a Christian. In our gospel reading, Jesus was declaring a mind-boggling truth that he is in us, and the Father is in us, and the Spirit is in us, and we are in him. And so everything we do will cast a reflection on God and his name, whether to his honor or to his dishonor. And you might argue that what you do is your own business and other people should not judge God based on what you do. But I'm sorry, Christians, we don't have that privilege. The Apostle Paul says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus on the cross. The Apostle Paul also says in 2 Corinthians that we are Christ's ambassadors. And so just like think of a UK ambassador going to the United States, they're not just going to represent themselves, are they? They are representing our country. Everything they do and say will leave an impression on the American people, and they will think a certain way of us because of it. And in the same way, Christians are Christ's representatives. We are his presence in the world. We are called by his name. And so everything we do reflects onto God. I wonder what kind of image have your actions recently been reflecting onto God's name? Well, all of this talk about God's name, and we might not actually know what that is or what that means. So let's talk about names for a moment. I mean, someone's name isn't just what you refer to them as, is it? It's a bit more than that. It says something about who they are. So, for example, what is the first thing somebody knows about William the Conqueror? Was that he was a conqueror of some sort. And in the Bible, people's names mean things. And so children are given names based on what the name means, rather than how nice it sounds. So a few examples. Emmanuel means God is with us. Abraham means father of many. Ruth means companion or friend. Well, what is God's name? God says his name is Yahweh. He reveals himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. And his name means I am who I am. Or I will be who I will be. Who God is wrapped up in his name and all of the things that he does, his actions, his deeds. So God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the God of salvation. He's the softener of hard hearts. He's the opener of blind eyes. He's the wonderful counselor. The majestic one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord of armies, the great I am, Jesus Christ the righteous, the Lamb who was slain, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Ancient of Days. This is who the true God is. He's known through his actions and his words. And so what does it look like to misuse his name? Is to deny who he is. with your actions to bring scorn or contempt on his name? Or in other words, to use your words and actions in any other way apart from to bring reverence and worship to his name? And I suggest that when you hear people doing the opposite, that you should feel something. Let me paint you a picture. Think of your spouse or your best friend or your parent, and they've annoyed you or something, and you're frustrated. You're going to go tell someone. So you go find some friends and you tell them. You tell them something that wasn't true. You say, don't tell anyone else. But they do. They tell everyone they know. Word gets around. And now in the eyes of everyone you know, their name is mud. They are shamed. You have dragged their name through the mud, and their reputation means nothing anymore. It's embarrassing. You go for a walk and you feel all eyes on you, except they're not on you, they're on your person. You go out and nobody talks to them. You walk towards a group of people and they walk away because they don't want to be seen with your person. And it's all your fault. How do you feel? Probably a bit, I don't know, like hot in the chest. And I wonder, do you feel the same way about God when God is mocked or his name is shamed? Like I mentioned earlier, I suggest that we probably should feel something. And maybe like the person in the story, you are the reason that people avoid God. And my brothers will often ask why I ask them to stop saying Jesus Christ or, oh my God. And they'll say, it's just words. But it's not just words, is it? It means more than that. I care about who God is. I care about God. And Jesus' name is the name on which we call to be saved. So it's not just a curse word replacement. It's much more than that. It's something wonderful. It can't just be throwing it around willy-nilly like that. I wonder how you thought about how your words or actions might be dragging God's name through the mud. Let's think of some different everyday situations that we might be in. Apologies. Let's start with work. Like most people spend most of their time in the day at work, whether that be at home for the stay-at-home mum, or in the office, whatever that looks like, or on site, or it could be at uni, at school, wherever you spend most of your day. How does your conduct honor God? When people think about you, do they think, oh, there's something different? Or do they think, oh, just the same as everyone else? How does that reflect on God? As a Christian, you bear God's name, remember. You are his presence wherever you are. You are his ambassador in whichever situation you find yourself. So be that to your children or to your colleagues or to your clients. Are you bringing honor to God's name, or are you actually bringing mockery and scorn? Perhaps some of you might work with contracts. Perhaps you have an opportunity to cut someone out of a contract because it will save you money. And maybe they've been working just as hard as you have. They put in just as much time. Would you be able to sign Jesus' name next to yours? Would Jesus be happy to do that? The Church of England actually has an official sermon on the making and breaking of oaths. I meant to bring it with me today, but I really recommend it. If you'd like to borrow it, let me know. But throughout the whole sermon, we're really warned of the dangers of swearing falsely in God's name, in or on God's name. And so if we commit perjury, that means to lie under oath, then we make him out to be a liar. The actions of a person will reflect on whoever or whatever they represent. So if a company sends an engineer to do some work and they do an awful job, not only will the engineer's work and name be kind of stricken off, but also it will reflect back on the company as well. And so some encouragement for those who might be feeling really stung right now. This isn't meant to be a beat up, it's supposed to be an eye opener. If you feel convicted and your heart is heavy, well, don't worry. You can confess your sins to the Lord as we already have, and he is faithful to receive you and to forgive you. Repent and change your ways, and he will help you. He came to take your heavy burdens and take them away and give you his light burden. He wants you to follow his commands. Those are the way to live the good life. If you're not a Christian and your heart feels a bit pricked anyway, you should know that Jesus came to take your heavy burdens away as well, no matter what they are. And he came to give you his light burden. And so after the service, there will be a few of us at the back of church if you'd like to speak with someone about this further or to pray with or to be prayed for. But another area where we might find ourselves is public. So by that I mean like in the open where somebody can read or see or hear us. And so in 2017, I went to see famous English rapper Stormzy when he released his Gang Signs and Prayer album. Bear with me, this was my early Christian days. But I want to draw attention to two songs in particular. One is called Blinded by Your Grace on the album. The other one is called Mr. Skeng. In one of them, he sings sweetly and lovingly to Jesus. And it's really heartfelt, and he thanks him for what he's done in his life. But in the other one, he kind of raps about his street life and having friends who will get into fights for him and how his nickname is Gunshot Mike. I guess it's not hard to imagine what he might be implying there. But it's almost as if Stormzy lives in two different worlds. In the one world, he wants to thank and honor God. But in the other world, he wants to hold on to this gangsterhood reputation that he's got, that he's made. In the one world, he's giving thanks to God. So, but what is what Stormzy's doing? Is this honoring to God? I guess yes, because he's rightfully giving thanks to God. But also no, because the words you use every day matter. And the way that you live your life every day, bearing God's name, matters. What does that say about where our hearts truly are? He claims to represent God, but then he raps about things and almost idolizes things that don't honor God very much at all. Some people might look at him and say, you don't actually believe what you say. Because if you did, then you wouldn't say what you do. Remember that living for God isn't just a box-ticking exercise. Like, oh, in this song, I have honored God's name and not misused his name. But in this one, I haven't, so I haven't done very well in this one. It's a lifestyle. To put another spin on the idea of living for God's name or bearing God's name in public, another song written by some friends, they say, you are chosen. God is never giving up on you. You are picked out and precious to God. So if we want to honor God in our public and our private and our work lives, I think we should definitely be praying for the Lord's help and his guidance in everything that we do. I've been struck recently that I should be praying at the beginning and end of every task, and I don't always do that, but I know that I need the Lord's help. We should be immersing ourselves in these great promises that God has made us to help us keep going for him, keep us striving forward, but those promises are only found in the Bible. A final thought. Recently, my YouTube algorithm has brought up lots of videos and clips of John Lennox debate videos. I don't know if you know who John Lennox is, but he's a Christian mathematician and philosopher of science. I believe John and Daphne know him, and Daphne even looked after his kids. In 2007, he had a debate with famous atheist Richard Dawkins. And in multiple, like lots of these different clips that I've seen on the internet recently, he's saying about how people still come to him and say that, even today, that they've become Christians because of this debate. Not necessarily because of what he said, as in like he won the debate definitively, but because of how he treated his opponent. He treated him with respect, even when his opponent was being especially vicious. And he's got this, says this quote in one of the videos, which has really struck me. He says, "I really do believe that the world watches attitude just as much as it watches content." So if you are living for him, the world will look at you and see it Christ at work. And that is a powerful thing. As we've been thinking about, misusing God's name isn't just to do with avoiding using God's name at all. It's much broader than that. It's to do with our conduct as well. There will be those here today who think that they feel that they're going quite well. Like they know that they represent God and they want to honor him and they love him. And they want to see his name in lights and they're aware that they represent him. And so, great, keep going. Well done. Encourage each other in that. There'll be those here who feel like that's what they want, but struggling, just not going right. And so please ask for help, ask for prayer. That's one of the great things about having the church here, is that we can ask each other for help and we can pray with and for each other. Don't give anyone a reason to curse or malign God's name. Let the world see the good work of God in your life. To Jesus Christ be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.